The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good evening, Nerd Clan. Today we are talking about Chapter 22, The Hunt of Midnight Sun. We are coming to a close to this book. Oh, we got about 120 pages left or so. I'd say probably 5 or 6 chapters left. And finally, again, we're getting to a place here where we're actually really chugging here. We're playing with some real gas, and we're cooking with some real gas rather. And I definitely find myself enjoying this part of the book far more than I did in previous chapters and previous sections of this book. That is obviously, I think, by design. We're in the final act here. The onset of the game and everything that happened right before that is the beginning of this third act, the final closing act of Midnight Sun, and the tension is rising. Again, we have our perfect little three beat of meeting new vampires in this book. We've already had 2 encounters. The third encounter is the one that gives us the mortal danger for Bella. And we get a pretty good characterization of each of the new vampires, excuse me, instantly through Edward's perspective. We understand that James is a tracker, that he is confident, he is more than attractive, and he moves with ease. His brain operates with ease in how he plans things. Victoria is skittish. She is nervous. She runs. She plans escapes. And Laurent is apparently the leader, and he is most calm, most affecting of the group, and most willing out of his curiosity to just understand what's happening. He seems. We also understand that Laurent is the newcomer to the coven that was once shared by only James and Victoria. That while he apparently is the leader, it doesn't feel like he's the leader. It doesn't feel like that at all. And I remember getting that in Twilight necessarily, but I remember getting that in the film. The film proposes that Laurent is in fact the leader, but it seems like as the rest of the film goes on that it's understood that James is in fact the leader of the coven, and that Laurent was just posing that way. My memory of that could be off. It could be wrong. And more importantly, in this book, you know, it's even written here. The two males seemed unable to keep their eyes off of Emmett for long, either. I found myself appraising my brother. He seemed even bigger than usual tonight, and there was something unnerving about his taut stillness. Still, the leader, Laurent, was sure of his plan. If our covens could get along with each other, then we could get along with his. Everyone would calm down, and then we could all play, and he would get to know the glowing blonde. So, clearly, he is still looking for a mate. Laurent is, and Edward interprets him as the leader. Now, if my memory serves me right, as I just described, James is really the leader of this coven, and I wonder why Edward is fooled, if my memory serves me correct. I wonder why there is such a gap in Edward's interpretation of the social structure for the other coven. Is that he's just blinded to James's aggressiveness, though at this point in the first two pages of the chapter, there is no aggression necessarily. I don't know. So guys, please let me know what you think about that. Another thing that happens here too, which is something that I didn't get from Twilight, either the book or the film, is Jasper. Jasper working so hard, concentrating so hard that if he were human, he'd be sweating, trying to keep the situation calm, making Bella nondescript, making her seem so mundane that she would be hardly noticeable. In fact, he does that not only for Bella, but he does it for Esme and Alice and Rosalie, protecting the most, as what in terms of Edward's words, are the most vulnerable of their group. That is a great little bit of insight, too. It's something that actually helps me understand how Bella was so overlooked for most of this conversation until there's a wisp of wind that sets her scent aflame for the rest of the new coming group.